We will speak about C-linear categories. So, C-linear category is the usual category whose home spaces are equipped by the structure of vector spaces over C. So, you have objects X, Y, and so on. And you have home spaces, which are finite dimensional vector spaces over C, such that the composition maps which compose arrows these are maps from y to z times x to y into home from x to z are supposed to be C bilinear and associative, so as usually in the category. So in fact, this data is nothing but the structure of non-commutative infinite dimensional C algebra on the space of all arrows of the category. So algebra without unity. This is precisely equivalent way for understanding everything in what follows. Let me say pure algebraic way. But certainly most convenient is the first way, because we will consider some extra structures on our categories. Namely, in geometry, there are two special structures usually sitting on this set of data. Namely, we will consider abelian categories. Abelian category is those where each arrow has kernel and cokernel. So you have for each arrow phi, you have two canonical objects such that for any z, you have isomorphisms of bifunctors, namely home from z to k is nothing but kernel of induced maps from home from k to x to home from z to x from z to y. So this is ordinary kernel of vector spaces. And home from C to Z represents the co-kernel of maps as usually. And some extra isomorphism is required, namely, if I have this inclusion of kernel M to X, then I can define an object called image of this phi, which is co-kernel of this map by the definition. And if I have a map from Y. So let me write psi maybe here. Psi prime onto co-kernel. Then I can define, let me say, image prime of my phi, which is kernel of psi prime, and there is a natural morphism from this one to this one, and my assumption is that this morphism should be isomorphism. This is a very important assumption. So basic examples, so essentially any abelian category is category of models over some ring. And of course, these are precisely the categories coming from geometry, representation theory, and so on. So maybe simplest example is category of representation of squivers. So squiver is a collection of points with some arrows, something like that. So the simplest squiver is, say, 2 points equipped with d-dimensional space of arrows. Then a representation of such a quiver is nothing but a pair of vector spaces, say u0 and u1, and d-dimensional space of linear maps. So this is an object of my category. So this is object of A. And typical question you could ask about homomorphism between objects, so arrow from an object which is represented by this pair of vector spaces and another object represented by another pair of vector spaces, W, is nothing but a pair of linear maps, say F0 and F1. And typical question we can ask about this categories is, say, investigate the models of moduli spaces of objects. Namely, for example, there are so-called rigid objects. You certainly can form such model, let me write M0 for it, which consists of C and a collection of zero maps, and you can form an object M1, which consists of zero, and again the collection of zero maps. These are the only indecomposable, only irreducible models, because it's evident that any other model either contains this one as a submodel or this one as a submodel. Just put, if the space is non-zero, just put this C here and this will be a submodel. But they have certainly non-trivial extension. We can consider models of this form, and there is certainly d-dimensional, finally, of such the models. It is naturally parameterized by a collection of numbers which are just multiplicators. So you should define D arrows from C to C, and these D arrows are multiplications by lambda 1, lambda D. So we have family of these models, and certainly this model is naturally represented as an extension. So let me write n lambda for it. Certainly there is an exact triple of models. In particular, we have d-dimensional X group. And we can ask about isomorphism classes of these models. Certainly, an isomorphism is essentially an action of C star on these objects. So if you have an isomorphism, this is M lambda, and this is, say, M mu, then you can, what is an isomorphism? You should multiply by some scalar here and some scalar here. I can put this one equal to 1, and after that I have an action of C star on these models, so moduli space. Is nothing but PD minus 1, which is CD over C star. In general, models of the form U0, U1 also form some moduli space, so have the following homogeneous space U0 star tensor U1 tensor CD factorized through the action of GL of U1 times GL of U0 times GL of U1 factorized through C star sitting as common center here. So this homogeneous space should be considered as moduli space of objects of type, say, U0, U1 from Z2, where Ui is dimension of Ui. So this is some standard construction from geometric invariant theory or for representation theory of algebras. And there is very similar category, namely, we can put D equal 2 here and consider just the representations of such a quiver. Then this category looks like a category of coherent shifts on P1. Namely, the last category is generated by a pair of shifts, of invertible shifts, say by O minus 1 and O, and we have d-dimensional form here. So these two objects look precisely like our M0 and M1, except for some shift of gradient. Namely, we had some d-dimensional X1 group here and home group here. And natural way to compare these two categories is to introduce the notion of triangulated category. So the last series of geometrically arising categories is not the series of abelian categories, but triangulated categories. Triangulated category is so equipped with quite different structure. Namely, we do not have K kernels and co-kernels now. We have a gradient instead, so it is equipped with gradient, more precisely with gradient shift factor. Usually denoted by brackets, which is auto-equivalence of the category. And also equipped with a class of so-called exact triangles. Exact triangles are diagrams of the form A to B to C, so A of 1, here stays minus alpha of 1, B of 1, and so on. These are infinite diagrams, C of minus 1, gamma of minus 1, with minus sign, and so on. Satisfying some axioms, most important of these axioms for us is the axiom which combines the properties of kernel and co-kernel, namely for any z, there are exact sequences of Holmes. Similar sequence going into the other direction. Where, by the definition, form I is form from whom from I from X to Y as from X to Y of I. This is most important property of exact triangles. And also one of axioms says that any arrow can be included into some exact triangle. In fact, this triangle is unique up to non-canonical isomorphism because of this long exact sequences. And typical source for triangulated categories are so-called derived categories of abelian ones. But historically, the first example of triangulated category certainly comes from topology. So these are topological spaces considered up to stable homotopy, so stable homotopy category. Is historically the first example and the source of all the theory. And another series of examples, these are derived categories of abelian. Derived categories are essentially categories of complexes. Factorized through two types of relations, so they should be factorized through homotopy equivalence already. This factorization leads to triangulated category. which is more or less the first example, if I consider the category of complexes arising as, say, chain complexes or singular chain complexes of topological spaces. And then you should localize through quasi-isomorphisms. This is not quite constructive procedure, but this localization exists, and main consequence of its existence is that triangulated category, so we have the following claim actually. First of all, triangulated category accumulates all homological information. About initial Abelian, and secondly, several Abelian categories, so distinct Abelian categories, can have the same derived category. Actually, we have already seen this in my previous very simple toy example. So the category of models of Quiver representation, in fact, is equivalent to the category of shifts on P1, and precise meaning of the word looks like is exactly that they both have the same derived category, namely, we can consider abstract triangulated category generated by so-called exceptional pair. This means that it is generated by object E0, by object E1, and all the shifts. And this object E0 and E1, so this is minimal triangulated category which contains these two generators and all their shifts, and these objects are supposed satisfying some orthogonality properties on Holmes, namely Holmes from E0, so Holmes 0, let me stress, this is ordinary Holmes, is CD, but all other Holmes groups, so Holmes M, from AI to AJ, are zero. Then this triangulated category can be identified with the both, the derived category of models over the algebra with two arrows, and also this derived category of coherent shifts on P1. Namely, here we take O of minus 1 and O precisely to E0 and E1, and here we should take M0 and M1 to A0 and A1 of minus 1. Let me stress that this rule identifies the both derived categories with this abstract triangulated category generated by an exceptional pair, but under this identification, we do not have identification of initial Abelian categories, because this model, or say, this coherent shift O, in terms of the representation theory, doesn't represent it by some representation. It is not pure object, it is shifted. So in this terms, M1, so say in terms of representations, O becomes M1 shifted by 1. This means that actually O is represented by some complex, namely, you can consider this complex M lambda to M0. As a complex representing O in derived category. Okay. Now, let me illustrate the phrase that triangulated category accumulates all essential, all homological information about the initial abelia. So again, the interesting structure on triangulated category is so-called massy product structure, namely we have so-called higher compositions. Let me illustrate this by some example. You can have three arrows, between four objects. So this is one arrow 1, 0, this is 1, 2, this is 3, 2. And we can form the higher composition as follows. We can take a cone here, cone of this map. Then we can try to lift this arrow to an arrow going to this cone. The abstraction to this lifting is the composition of phi 1, 0 with phi 2, 1 because of my long exact sequences. So this arrow is lifted if and only if this composition is zero. So phi 2, 1 composed with phi 1, 0 equals zero implies that there exists some alpha. Similarly, we can try to lift this arrow to some map beta. And again, the abstraction is this composition. And I would like to put by the definition, assuming that the both abstractions vanish, I put by definition the composition of beta and alpha as higher or massy products. Certainly this construction can be generalized inductively by any set of maps, but let me stress at this point that this composition actually is not well defined. There are several liftings alpha leading to the same phi 1, 0. Namely, in fact, this lifting is unique up to a composition with some arrow going from x0 to x2. In fact, this arrow should have degree minus 1 because this is degree 1 map. So it is well defined up to phi 3, 2 composed with home minus 1 from x0 to x2 plus similar discrepancy which may appear when I lift phi 3, 2 to beta. This is well defined to a composition with map going from x1 to x3. So such a beta is unique up to such a composition. So I get home minus 1 from x1 to x3 composed with phi 0, 1. Great. And sometimes it may happen that this discrepancy is also zero. For example, if I have triangulated category coming as direct category of abelian one, and here I have elements of abelian category. This gives a guarantee that there are no negative Homs at all. So sometimes I will get well-defined operations. Again, the simplest example comes, say, from P1. So I can try to compute higher operation going from OX to O to OY to O of minus 1. Here, actually, I should put the map of degree 1 here too. In fact, this map is nothing but extension class of exact triple O of minus 1 goes to O goes to OX. OX and OY are just skyscraper shifts situated at X and Y. Structure shift of points. This arrow is home from OX to O of 1, which corresponds to the class of this exact triple, which defines OX. So OX is skyscraper shift, structure shift of a point. And it has canonical resolution. Just take a linear form and evaluate it. So let me denote this map by phi X. Phi X actually does nothing but takes 1 to some, say, determinant of X and lambda. So this is bilinear form, where lambda are homogeneous coordinates on P1. So you can think about this in terms of representations of quivers. Then actually my OX is nothing. This is nothing but OX. And this lambdas are homogeneous coordinates of the corresponding points, nothing else. And similarly, I can compute. So this arrow is also an arrow coming from. So I'm sorry. Perhaps some. So because this is O, I have to write O here and here O of 1. I'm sorry. So it doesn't act on OX because I'm sitting on a curve. So twist by 1 doesn't act on skyscraper. And here I have extension class of O of minus 1, say phi y, O y. Again, this is map from degree 1 map from O y to O of minus 1, extension class of this triple. And here is just evaluation map at Y, canonical map from O to skyscraper shift. And I see immediately that this operation is canonically defined because I have no, in this case, degree 0 Homs, because this minus 1 with respect to this degree 1 map should be treated as degree 0 Hom from OX to OY. So I have no discrepancies here. I have certainly no discrepancies here, and certainly no abstractions. So this triple of maps is actually a complex. So existence can be viewed as the condition that these three maps form a complex in my triangulated category. And let me say that actually this computation is nothing but what physicists like to do. This computation computes just some correlators between two points. So I'm not sure that I'm right, but you can ask Andrei Losev, say, there is a physicist here. So this should be correlator of two points in free fermion theory on a sphere, something like that. So, in fact, this can be treated as some path integral of form some kernel psi of x, psi of y. So maybe phi, I don't know, something like that. And let me stress the idea that actually almost all path integrals coming from field theories, for supersymmetric field theories, can be treated precisely in this way, at least in all situations where they are really computable. So the computation of such path integrals is nothing but computation of higher operations, which can be defined and are visible precisely in terms of triangulated category only. And how to compute? So, actually, the first guy who made this computation precisely for elliptic curves was Polishuk, not only for elliptic, just in the case of any curves. And you can look his article, his paper, to see the answers. In this case, actually, this operation can be considered as some operation between sheaves on P1 cross P1, namely over the moduli space of these arrows. So these arrows actually depend on some modulus. This axis can be moved. So in this P1 is moduli space of these arrows, and this P1 is moduli space of these arrows. And then this operation, so certainly these arrows can be glued together to get some canonical line bundle here, and these arrows can be glued together to get some canonical line bundle here. And in terms of these line bundles, this operation is nothing but multiplication by 1 over determinant of xy in homogeneous coordinates in some natural understanding of global understanding of what is happening. But let me stress that in algebraic geometry you always have some finite data. So to compute this higher operations, you need only some finite resolutions presented by standard algebraic geometric categories. So now my question is how to compute. To compute such operations, there is a very universal procedure. Namely, you should take some DG resolutions of forms. So you need some DG algebra such that your initial category are just homologous of this DG algebra. So DG algebra is equipped with some differential. So you have big spaces, DG homes, and if you can identify your triangulated category as homology category of this DG, Then the computation goes straightforward by the standard construction, actually already discussed in Andrei Losev lecture during the workshop. Namely, you should fix some decomposition over K of this DG vector space home. You should decompose it as, let me write, A plus I plus C, where I is just the image of D. I plus C is the kernel of D. And actually D does nothing but takes A, which is abbreviation of acyclic part, identically onto I, and takes I and C to zero. Under this assumption, I can invert D. So certainly this decomposition is very non-unique. So, and this is not D decomposition. This is just decomposition over K. So it is extremely non-canonical. But if you have such a decomposition, pick up some, then you can define operator K which just inverts D over I. It takes I to back to A, just like D minus 1, and sends A and C to 0. After that, this data induces higher operations on your initial triangulated category. Let me write just H. Precisely as follows. So M operation of M, so higher product of M arrows should be defined as a map from H tensor H to H. So this map has M inputs and one output. And what stays here? Here stays sum over all oriented binary trees with M inputs and one output, having multiplication at each vertex having operator K at each internal arrow, and having inclusion H into DG. So H is nothing but my C actually. At incoming arrows and having projection of DG onto H at the outgoing one. In fact, this is well known result, so perhaps firstly discovered by Smirnov, by some topologists, and then rediscovered by many people. So perhaps the best explanation is quite recent Markov paper precisely called something like inducing high infinity structure. In fact, what we have here, so this higher operation provides new triangulated category actually with A infinity structure. It is quite uncanonical. So the theorem says that this is unique up to I infinity isomorphism, but this actually means almost nothing for practical computations. But if you know in precisely internal terms, again, let me stress, of your triangulated category that your operation is well defined, then you get immediately that the result computed in this way will not depend on the choice of all this extra data. Okay. Now, so you have binary tree here. Binary tree has vertices, these two incoming arrows and one outgoing. Each vertex corresponds to multiplication in your algebra, just composition of arrows. Then it has a lot of internal arrows inside. I put K, so when you go through internal arrow, you should apply your K operator. And it also has M incoming arrows and one outgoing. I put inclusion of homologies into DG algebra in incoming. This inclusion is provided by this decomposition precisely. In fact, C is isomorphic to homologies. These are precisely all the representatives of cycles, model images. And I take projection onto homologies at outgoing arrow. These are these last two things. Certainly they depend, but taking another decomposition here, you get what is called equivalent A infinity structure. Equivalence means A infinity isomorphism. Actually, A infinity isomorphism is a huge collection of data. But if you know that the result of your computation is canonical, then you cannot worry about this, all this extra fixation. Yes, certainly, and certainly, this is precisely what Andrei Losev said during his talk. So this is just the same construction. Okay, now you can ask and how to produce this DG structure. Certainly, there are a priori DG structures. So if you know that your category comes from a billion, then you can take, say, inductive representers for all the objects, so replace all the objects by the something, say, projective resolutions or injective resolutions, which are huge, but provide you with this structure. But this structure is completely non-computable. Another way, you can use, if you are sitting in algebraic geometry, you can use debug resolutions. And this is what the physicists usually do. But again, from a mathematical viewpoint, this... And this debug resolution mathematically is bad because it actually deals with infinite dimensional spaces here. So all your computations became infinite dimensional. And for example, your K will be nothing but debug inverse. Sometimes there are some problems how to invert debug. But important thing is that in geometric categories, you can introduce a kind of internal structure. Actually, the structure will be defined in terms of the triangulated category, which provides all objects with canonical filtration. So suppose each x of your triangulated category, so let me write P, this is triangulated category, can be fitted into finite diagram of the form and suppose this can be done functorial. What means functorial? I will explain in 2 minutes. Then you certainly can represent, so functorial means that any arrow from x to y is unically lifted to the set of arrows between these components of your x, and moreover, unically lifted to the set of arrows. So let me write f1x, f2x, f3x here, f1y, f2y, f3y here. If you can lift it to the set of these arrows and as well to the set of arrows between cones, so these are cones, consequent cones, then you get DG structure on your homes, because home XY, if you have this data, can be computed via standard spectral sequence, which has E1 PQ spanned by homes from G alpha to G alpha plus P, and here space Q. So this is old version of modern infinity language, but anyway, if you have some experience in computations with spectral sequences, you understand immediately that having natural filtrations, you have natural DG structure on your home spaces. And actually, for example, for this computation, when we compute this triple massive product, this is the simplest way to compute everything. So you just should use such complexes as representers for your models for x and for y, and just compute x directly. So you have essentially three types of objects, and you can compute all x by hand. And again, let me stress that all the computations should be finite dimensional. So everything to compute here on algebraic side is finite dimensional. This is pure linear algebra. Okay. I'm going to explain this more precisely just now. This is what is called T-stability. So let us fix some ordered sets. Let phi be totally ordered set. I will consider it as a category. With one arrow, say phi psi, for any inequality So just consider inequalities as arrows. Nothing else. And I would like to consider finite valued locally constant semi-continuous, continuous from the left functors from phi to t. More precisely, this means that, so let me write phi here, order it in this direction, and here my t, such that, so functor f, such that f of plus infinity equals to zero. And then such a functor takes all elements of phi to some elements of t in such a way that you get a diagram like this. So you have zero object, then some object f1 appears, then some other object f2 appears, then some other object f3 appears, and so on. So finite value means that you have totally finite number of such objects, and semi-continuous from the left means that this object starts on the right side and then goes here, and then appears a new object. And semi-continuous, locally constant means that you take the same object along the intervals. So let me write P for the category of such functors. A good intuition is to consider such a functor as a random process. So you have a random process of building some object x, which is final value f of, say, minus infinity. And because this is a functor, this means that this x is provided, this is a collection of map, precisely like here. Now, given such a process, I can define a collection of jumps, so or events, gi. I just the cons of fi plus 1 to fi. So I have exact triangles. And now my claim is that let for any phi from phi a subcategory P phi in T is given such that home in degrees less or equal to zero from P phi to P psi vanishes for all phi greater than psi. Then a functor from the category PP, which is category of processes with events in P phi. So I consider only the processes such that all the events and at the moment phi should be in my category P5. This means that G5 belongs to P5 for all phi. Then there is a factor from the category of these processes to my triangulated category T, which takes a process to its result. Claim is that this functor is full faithful embedding. This means precisely what I want. This means that each arrow between X and Y is canonically lifted. So all the history is canonically recovered from each object up to unique isomorphism. This provides you this DG structure on morphemes. So, how many time I have? Say 5 minutes. Yes. Something about it. Okay. It slightly depends on homological properties of UP5. In fact, given such a diagram, these are exact triangles. Then you can replace your X by a collection of events. The events canonically form a complex. Composition of these two maps gives you a map from G0 to G1, from G1 to G2, and so on. And certainly the composition of these two consequent arrows in this complex is zero, just because these are distinguished triangles, and to get this map, you should go like this, and this, so you should go twice through the same, so this is exact triangle, and computing the composition, you go take two consequent arrows in distinguished triangle. This means that the resulting map should be zero. And the differential acts precisely like the differential between two complexes. So you replace each X by collection of G5. G5 form a complex. Moreover, this is canonically contractible complex to X. And then you have usual differential as between complexes. But certainly, when computing the X group required to computing your higher operation, you should use the complete spectral sequence. I mean that sometimes there may be some higher homes between G5s. Certainly, they should be counted. But there is the standard technique how to count them, you know, probably. Anyway, all the computations are finite. You need only computations in finite dimensional vector space. And let me finish with some example. So, actually, this data is called p-stability data. If this functor is epi, if this evaluation functor this means that you can really represent all the objects by such a complexes. And in fact, Tom Bridgeland was the first who considered this kind of data in a little bit restrictive assumptions. And let me mention the example computed by Tom Bridgeland, namely, we can consider elliptic curve. And ask, what about p-stabilities on derived category of coherent sheaves on elliptic curve? The answer is very interesting, actually. Any p-stability. So, before I formulate it, let me make some remark, namely, if you have some testability data, I mean phi, then you certainly can construct some coarser testability data, namely, you can decompose your phi into disjoint union of some phi I. So you have phi, you can decompose phi into disjoint union of intervals and consider a new category just by gluing together all the semistable categories fitting here. Then you get coarser stability data. And any testability on elliptic curve C can be obtained by refinement. Refinement means that you go to another direction. Of Mumford stability. Mumford stability has categories, has this time set phi, which is disjoint union over all I's of rational, of disjoint coquets of rational numbers. Let me write Q of I here, hat, where Q of I hat is nothing but Q united with infinity symbol. And the corresponding category PQ of I consists of all shifted semistable shift of slope C1 of A over R of A equal Q. Infinity appears when rank equals zero, so infinity labeled category corresponds to the category of semistable skyscraper shifts. Graphically, this can be represented by the picture sitting in K0. So K0 of C with coordinates R and C1. So then the slope becomes just ordinary slope of line. So you have lines here. And then by first Q hat, which is Q hat of zero, is nothing but this semicycle sitting here. Another semicycle sitting here is nothing but Q hat of minus one, say. And actually, guiding shift function acts here on this picture by central symmetry. And there is a very interesting game here. So you can consider not fine testabilities, but coarsest ones. Coarsest ones are called T-structure. So T-structure is coarsest T-stability. So to obtain T-structure, you should just represent U phi as disjoint union over all of I over all I from Z, some, let me write D of I, where D is fundamental domain for shift function. So this is union of all semistable categories. Say you can draw a line here and take write down semicircle as u d. So combine together all categories, consider the categories spanned by this. Then there is a very easy theorem which says that this D will be abelian category. Moreover, such that its Dirac category, so DB of D, will coincide with U initial T. So having a fine P-stability data, we can produce abelian categories sitting inside U-triangulated and giving U-triangulated as derived category. Moreover, we can classify all of them. And in this case, the theorem proved by me and Sergei Kuleshov says that all abelian kernels of this triangulated category, not only on elliptic curve, but on any curve as well, can be obtained by this geometric stability data. And let me stress that this is very similar to the Dedekind approach to real numbers. Certainly you have rational points here, and then you take a section, just the Dedekind section. Split rational numbers into two parts, and say that one part is your abelian kernel. Very interesting thing is that taking a rational angle theta, we get very interesting abelian kernel, namely this abelian kernel will consist of all complexes of shifts of form E0, E1, where EIs are stable, where some conditional slopes, something like slope of E0 is, say, less than theta and greater or equal to minus infinity, and slope of E1 is greater or equal to theta and less than plus infinity. And this abelian kernel is nothing but what is called sometimes category of coherent shifts on non-commutative torus. It was discovered by Polishuk and Schwarz, and this is precisely this guy. So Polishuk and Schwarz categories appear on usual, just standard commutative torus as shifted T structures inside usual, let me say, commutative derived category. So this is just very demonstrative example showing that maybe non-commutative geometry, people speak very much, should be considered as some work inside triangulated category associated with just usual standard geometric objects. That's all. So perhaps I have to give some references here. So of course there are Bridgeland papers. Just search them. And secondly, there is a paper of Geom 03-12442. Written by me and Kuleshov. And Rudakov 1 year ago. And quite recent paper available. It is not still on the XXX, but it is available from MPI. Maybe six. So just go to MPI preprints. This is written by me and Kuleshov. Then you can look for some other examples of precisely computed T-stability data. Да? Ну, в ту же игру, то есть это вообще как-то дивным образом связано с диофантовыми приближениями, на самом деле, с вот играми, которые Арнольд любит. Если вот эту категорию брать, там, D-стрелок, то как бы с точки зрения представления, вот если у меня есть U0, как бы U1, это как бы моя 0, это U1 от минус единички. То тоже можно такую же картинку рисовать. В координатах U0, U1. У тебя она немножко видоизменится. Тут будет такая гипербола. Полустабильные категории будут такие. Это рациональные числа здесь. А эти лямбда, это значит b плюс минус корень из b квадрат минус 4. И плюс еще такие исключительные. Это как бы все векторы e с квадратом 1, то есть как такие. И можно играть в ту же игру. То есть вот у тебя есть как бы здесь такие дискретный набор, так сказать. So we're discussing the same picture as in the case of elliptic curve, but for representation of quiver. Then there is similar description of stability data, namely again you can consider K0 of representation and you say UI, which are dimensions of UI as natural coordinates here. Then semistable categories will consist of categories generated by exceptional objects, so pi, and they form discrete series represented by exceptional objects. Exceptional objects are the objects like the initial E0, E1, such that there are no, such that total endomorphism algebra of E is just C situated at degree 0. These are exceptional objects. They are easy classified in this case, and they are precisely all integer points on this hyperbola. And there is also, let me say, continuous part of stability data, which is formed by rational points intersected with interval between the branches of this hyperbola. Lambda is asymptotic direction of this difference. And again, you can switch on the same game. To get a T structure, this is abelian category, you should just break all stability data by some number theta. And again, here we get a T structure with abelian kernel A that admits, which is well known and admits geometric interpretation as derived category of coherent shifts on weighted projective line. Weighted projective line is something also depending, it is given by monomial equation, say in some toric variety, and this monomial equation looks like one monomial equals theta times another monomial. And this is precisely this theta. So all say German school of representations of such algebras, they are called hereditary algebras of homological dimension one, actually can be fitted in this picture very naturally. And of course these categories are also geometric, because this is nothing, so category with D arrows is nothing but subcategory of coherent shifts on PD minus 1. These are all coherent shifts orthogonal, say, to O of minus D, and so on, O of minus 2, orthogonal from to these shifts, there are no homes. So, on another description, this is what is spanned by O of minus 1 and O. But on PD now, on PD minus 1 now, not on P1. So we have also such examples. Another series of examples comes from higher dimensional categories, spanned not by pairs. So this will be categories of homological dimension more than one. And here is the point where our approach is completely different from Bridgeland's one. So, in fact,
when you choose a stability condition, you're saying that this half plane forms an abelian subcategory.
First of all, I describe the set of all potential semi-stable categories. They are of two kinds. Exceptional semi-stable categories, which are generated by exceptional objects, and categories, again, rational, which are representations, semi-stable representations, semi-stable just in the usual Gibbs sense. So, semi-stable representations of slope. Slope here is defined as u0 over u1, so in GIT, just applying.
How the slope shows up on this diagram? What is the relevance of this integral?
These are coordinates u0 and u1, and this slope is precisely
the. This table means that for any sub-object, the slope is less.
Yes, the slope is less.
So you mean that these are the sub-objects and this is the original object?
This means that I consider representations and I can represent this ratio as a slope of some lines here. So actually this line can be considered as,
I'm thinking of the example of vector bundles. The ones that are stable or semi-stable are the ones for which, for all sub-objects.
Yes, and here, so let me write U for this representation. U is called stable if for any sub-representation V of U, V0 over V1 is less than U0 over U1. This is precisely Hilbert criterion.
Yes, but how does that show up on the diagram?
On the diagram, my PQ consists of semi-stable representations of a given slope.
Yes,
this PQ, and it's over two, splits actually into, in fact, the same slope can appear, firstly, it appears when you take coprime U0 and U1, and then you can take MU0 and U1 as well. Actually, the corresponding moduli spaces will be different. So actually, this PQ can be refined in its own tour more, but this is just a rough picture on the level of projectivization of K0. So this PQ is, in some sense, so roughly speaking, this is union of all moduli spaces of given slope. You can consider this guy as infinite dimensional algebraic variety of inductive limits. Certainly, all these moduli spaces can be combined together. So each finite level moduli space is some strat in the highest. There are some natural geometrical maps here. So this was described, I think, very clear by Ehrenfrut and Ström. Ehrenfrut and Ström have a paper specially devoted to this kind of factorization, like U0, U1 times CD over product of two gears. And what I'm saying now is that you can produce these structures on your initial category by breaking this circle by some line and combining together all categories PQ, this PQ, big PQ. Just consider a category spanned by all PQs such that their slopes lying in this right down part. In more precise terms, these are complexes of representations of the form C0, C1, where C0 and C1 are semi-stable representations of bounded slopes, bounded by this line. And such complexes form an abelian category just because of general machinery. So you get T structure in this way. And this abelian category, as abelian category, is equivalent to the category of coherent shifts on weighted projective path. This is the result of computation. but actually, all the computations was made by German people. Actually, they classify all these categories. So, what we have done, we just remarked that all this computation can be put into this picture.
So here, when you say these integer points correspond to these exceptional categories?
Yes.
Then you just mean that kind of on this circle you have certain points?
Yes. No, they're sitting precisely here.
These slopes, you mean?
The slopes form a discrete set. There are no such slopes here at all. There is one here coming from the vector 0, 1. Then there is another coming from the next integer point on the hyperbola. So all exceptional objects satisfy this equation. U0 minus D0U1 minus U1 squared equals 1. This is a precisely integer point on the hyperbola. This is well-known result. So this is called a Bell equation. And all integer points on the hyperbola form some recursively computed sequence of points. And they form some discrete spectra. This point, the next one, which goes to this line, asymptotic line with this slope. So this are, he was asking about this lambda. This lambda are just the asymptotic lines of this hyperbola. And all, let me say, stable slopes in this case do not fill the whole cycle, but they form just two intervals, two rational intervals inside, plus some discrete set, small discrete set outside.
So when you cut by one of these lines here, actually it's not everything here. It's only this piece.
There are no stable objects in for this category. There are no stable objects in this area. In this area of slopes. They are just arithmetical abstraction to have, in fact, this condition of stability doesn't make sense here just by comparing the ranks of vector spaces. But this is written in great details in our paper from MPI. You can look. Mm-hmm. Will we drink a beer today? Сейчас я бумажки свои подгребу. А, ну давай, да, наверху через полчаса встречаемся. Хорошо? Давай. Like this, like this.